Right, hello everyone, and welcome back to the Grid Watchers podcast, episode 12. And luckily, we've got the full gang here: Ken, Alex, and Rix and Raw here for today's episode. How are you all doing? Well, specifically, Ken, are you sleep deprived yet or not?
No, not at all. It's
what?
No, we're actually fine.
Well, so what are people making all the fuss about then?
Well, if I'm going to say now, it's a lot easier than expected. It's going to come back and bite me in the ass. But to be fair, the first two nights home were a bit difficult, you know, because basically, you know, a womb is like a place of peace and quiet, and the world is a loud, annoying place. So the first two nights were a bit, but now she sleeps like 4 hours at a time. So then 4 hours, we wake up, change her, and then we sleep again. So it's not too bad, actually.
It's easy.
You got a massive responsibility because you've been giving something very fragile without an instruction manual.
Yeah, true.
But the sleep deprived portion of it, no, that's fine, actually.
Well, you've got 17 years, 300 and God, whatever days left to go to look after your child. Enjoy. if you have more as well, jeez.
Yeah, no, right, to be fair, though, he does have to have more because he needs to call one Jack, so come on, kid. Chop, chop, mate.
Ah, all right. Chop, chop, because that's how it goes.
That's how baby you're made.
So what we found out is that Rix is actually a virgin.
That just didn't land.
That joke just didn't work.
That was shocking.
I said it, I had nothing. I went, oh no.
The echo and silence says it all. It's all right, Alex.
Unbelievable.
So, Alex,
I'm trying to keep this PG. I best not.
Yeah.
You both okay, Alex and Rixon?
Yeah. I got a child to distract me, so it's all right.
I'm all right. Oh, he's just chilling. We're still in lockdown over here in England, so yeah, there's not a lot going on, really. I mean, right, today, right, I stayed in bed for an extra hour because that's how little I have to do on a weekend. So I just I wasn't even sleeping. I literally just lay in bed contemplating life, basically, for like another hour. It was like 12:30. And I wasn't even feeling dirty. Like, do you know when you've been in bed for like that long and you start feeling dirty? Didn't even feel dirty. Like, my life is now so sad. And it's just tragic. Really.
That's the Grid Watchers podcast where we give you the most entertaining content ever. Just Jack talking about he sat in bed not feeling dirty. Like, what is this?
Ollie asked me how I am. I was only answering... Honestly,
all right. Yeah, I like the honesty. I just imagine, you know, hello darkness, my old friend is going in
bed. Just crap asking Richard. Just ask Ken how he's going. He's the only one that's got anything interesting to say about
that's
how his week is going.
That's a very good point. But on to Formula One. This week we had AlphaTauri come out with their livery. I won't go first with my opinion on it, but we'll start. Well, none of us are AlphaTauri fans, so we'll start with you, Alex, because you're at the top of my list. Navy, very little white, bright white rims as well on the car. I mean, what are your thoughts on it?
So, and I know you're going to disagree with this definitely, Ollie. Okay. I like the white rims.
Yes.
Yes, Ken's with me, perfect. And Jack's with me because he drives Corsas, so that's fine.
How does that correlate in any way? How does that correlate?
It just does.
Yes, I do. Carry on.
So, I like the rims. They're really nice. However, the rest of the car just feels like car. It just feels like a livery. I wasn't too incredibly impressed with last year's. It just felt a bit like a livery with some branding, AlphaTauri branding on it. And this year feels very much the same. It feels just like that, just slightly different.
You guys have no taste, man. It's actually tragic.
Well, do you not like it either, Rickson?
I really like it. I think.
Oh, you really like it? Okay.
Their livery last year was my favourite.
Yeah, I quite like last year's.
The problem that we've got now is the same conversation we had last week. That's their brand now, so they can't change it.
Yeah.
Like,
true.
That's their brand. Like, you can moan about, oh, it's literally like just a skin for the car, or, you know, whatever. But like, it is just the same. That's it now. Their brand is that really nice blue and white, and you're not going to get anything else out of it apart from that, which isn't a bad thing because it's a nice colour scheme. So, I still like it. I still think it's going to be one of the best looking cars on the grid. I just don't like the front of it, what they've done with the blue along the nose. I think it was better without that, but it's fine. I think it's really nice.
And Ken?
Yeah, I actually quite like it.
Ah, it, just me who doesn't like it then.
No, it is like every time they do a car presentation, the meme that comes to my head is like, you know, that guy that says same, same, but different.
Mm.
Yeah, that's the whole thing that came to mind. I mean, if you see him side by side, the blue striping goes a lot further along the car.
Mm.
And on the back of the wing, it says in a massive font, it says Honda. So they'll have to change that again next year. But I like it. It's a slight, just slightly lighter blue than last season's. I don't know.
How is it?
Yeah, it is. If you see them side by side, it could be due to my monitor, but it looks slightly lighter.
It was a very deep blue yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It will definitely be the same colour. Because that's part of their branding, so that's the one bit that they wouldn't change. Even if it's slightly lighter or darker, I don't think they'd change that.
Well, can I say something about AlphaTauri that's not about livery?
Go on then.
How do I put it without being labelled?
No, is it about
what I was about to ask.
It is about one of their drivers who may or may not be from an Asian descent, who may or may not have a height issue.
He's very short.
I was going to bring up his self-burn.
He's very, very short, which is good though, because being a small racing driver is like,
it helps. Yeah,
that's the perks of.
I mean, Gasly's not exactly a unit, is he? But compared to, I was like, who brought their kid to work when they post that picture?
Did you realize Gasly had a son?
Yeah, bring your son to work day.
Yeah.
I wonder who the mother is, if his son is that Asian. Jesus Christ.
What?
Wow. I didn't think we were going to go down back to the old ways, but you've just opened the door and I'm going to shut it straight away.
you have opened this door and Ollie has slammed it shut before you can even fully open it.
Opens a racist door.
That's not... What? No, you said Pierre, if he's Pierre's son. I was going, if he's Pierre's son, his mother's got to be very Asian.
Or like, just...
What's very Asian compared to normal Asian?
No, because Pierre Gasly
is Asian.
What is she, super Asian or something like that?
Is she a superhero? Is she Asian girl?
That's extreme. That's too far, Alex.
That's too far, Alex.
Yeah, Alex, come on, man.
Nah, I mean, like, come on.
You are officially the most racist man that I know, and I live in Birmingham. I know a lot of racists. So, there you go, Alex.
Anyway.
I mean, you are from Taunton as well, so I think there's only like three people that live in Taunton. So, mate, it kind of makes sense.
And they're all farmers as well, so, you know.
Back to AlphaTauri. Yeah, he is very short, Ken.
He's Tsunoda. 5'2".
5'2", God.
Jesus.
I thought I was short.
He weighs 54 kilograms. Just in comparison, my 6-year-old nephew weighs 30.
Wait, Otto, did you research that before you came to this podcast?
Did you work out how heavy your cousin was? No, I just researched how, you know, like Yuki Tsunoda's height and then obviously his weight is next to it. But we were at my mother-in-law's and she just said, you know, yeah, the boys are so I've got two nephews and there's a difference. There's like a year difference, but they both weigh the same because one's like really muscular for his age.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said they both weigh 30. That's how I remembered. Otherwise, I probably would have compared it to a bag of potatoes or something else.
It is 8 bags of rice.
Why? Jersey Royals. Oh, yeah, I know. Alex is like, oh, no, Dad, it's definitely more like 40. Me being a farmer, I know all about
potatoes. It's more potatoes.
Well, Ollie, if you don't mind, I'm just going to swiftly bring it back to Formula One before we go further into the whole potato and rice discussion.
But Alex would love a whole podcast with some tractors and potatoes.
Oh, yes, he would.
He weighs eight bags of carrots.
To be fair, AlphaTauri have gotten quite an exciting lineup, don't they? Like Tsunoda, I mean, young, he's got talent. And then Gasly, for the first time, he's leading a team.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we've all seen what he can do in the AlphaTauri non-toxic environment. So, I don't know. I think they'll both do well. I mean, that's the thing with AlphaTauri. If they finish fourth, well done. If they finish 16th, no one bats an eye. It's just no expectations.
Mm. I was no, you're right. Like, it doesn't matter what happens, because if they're really good and a Red Bull driver, actually, this is the first year that won't happen. But like last year, if a Red Bull driver is really bad and an AlphaTauri driver is really good, they can just swap them. You know, whereas this year that probably won't happen, because even if Perez or Max is shit, there's no way they'd switch either of those.
Yeah, not a chance that's happening, is it?
But it's one of those teams where it's almost like I wish there was somebody else there who could develop more, because if they win a championship, like it would, that even saying that is mad. Like that would never happen, because if it was between them or Red Bull, they would never have the opportunity to go and win a title or win a race.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah,
like in Monza, I can guarantee if that was Max behind Pierre, they would have asked Pierre to let Max through to win. I guarantee. Mm. Like,
yeah,
it's good that they're still here and whatever. Like, and I'm glad Gasly won a race last year and got podiums and stuff. But that team is so, it's not pointless, because obviously it's developing the drivers, but when your driver is already there, like Gasly, who's been there for ages, who is a good driver, he doesn't need to be in a junior team anymore. What he needs is that Red Bull seat or something like that, so where he can actually prove that he's better than what he was originally, you know? So, yeah. But the car looks really good.
We'll have a whole breakdown of, I think, the season opener, and we'll go through each team. A later episode where we can delve in and do some predictions as well before the season kicks off. But finally, for this episode, I know it's only a short one, but Drive to Survive's back, guys. It's the third season, and well, it's do you think it'll be any even better than season two? I mean, there's a lot of moments that happened this year which are, you know, standout moments, and I think it could be the best season yet. I mean, minus the all the fake, you know, not fake is the wrong word.
You mean the V8 engine noises over V6 cars?
That's
the one, Ken. That's my favourite bit of it all.
Being Netflix and having that massive budget and thinking they can get away with a lot, I just hope they handle Grosjean's crash respectfully.
Yeah,
and that they don't put massive Hollywood explosions under it.
Yeah, like Michael Bay-esque.
Yeah, I'm exactly.
I'm sure they wouldn't do that. However, they would get...
It's Netflix.
It's too much of a risk to do something like that. Because like that crash in general made like worldwide sports news. So there's no... people know what it was. There's no need to like go overboard with it.
I feel like every video you see of that crash speaks for itself. You don't need to do anything to it. Every single shot of that crash does the whole thing justice, no matter which one you pick. So they don't need to put explosions and stuff like that over the top of it.
You already know how that episode's going to go. That episode's going to have some catchy title. It's going to start with them showing you Roman's personal life, his family, his kids, him cooking, the creator, feeling. And then they're going to cut straight to people saying like, Formula One is a dangerous sport. Cut, fade to black, boom, explosion. You know that's the way they're going to handle it. Because
cut Grosjean's on fire.
Because that's the way Americans like it, and that's the way people who just sit on the couch and know nothing about Formula One would want to see about, oh, I've seen this crash on the news. And then, you know, it's you just know they're going to handle it like that.
Mm. No, you're right. Was that the Samara? My memory's gone. But was George Russell in the Merc that week, or was it the week after?
Nah, it was the week after that he was. Oh, Hamilton's in that seat.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Right. Okay.
George
was say
there with the alternative layout of Bahrain.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. But I think
it's going to be good, but production quality, I imagine, will be down because they won't be able to have as many cameras there, as many staff members for like the live.
Yeah.
Sort of during the races, right? But I think afterwards it'll be better. Like.
So I was watching a video on that. I think it was by Will Buxton, who was asked the question of how are Netflix getting around the whole COVID issue. So obviously before they just went into pit garages and did whatever, and it was all kind of free reign, as everything was, in fairness. What they're doing this year is they've got people assigned to teams. So they get the behind the scenes access in the same way all of the, you know, team personnel do. So they're assigned to a team. They could change teams each week. So for example, when was it? It was Ferrari's thousandth race that they did I think they would be there for that and probably assigned to Merck when Hamilton won his seventh world title and all of that sort of thing. You know, they're assigned to a team, but they got all of the behind the scenes and got in amongst it in the same way they did all the previous years. So they did it that way.
Okay. That's all right then. I mean, still in depth and
it's
very good. And it's, you know, people complain about, like you said, Ken, the noises and the over dramatic sense of the program, but it does draw in people who wouldn't normally watch Formula One. I think Rickson, you mentioned you have friends that didn't like F1, but they watched Drive to Survive last year. So in that aspect, it does draw people to the sport, which is always good. More the merrier, I reckon.
I think that's going to be more of a problem now, though, because they're going to cater it more for new people. Like, that program is not made for people like us that already watch the sport.
It just annoys us.
It's for people that haven't, they might watch like Monaco and like other staple races where, you know, basically if cars are going to crash, more people are likely to watch it, I imagine. That's just how it goes. But I mean, because of how well it did for season one and two, it's going to go more towards how can we get more people to watch this? Oh, yeah. I know, let's make it really stupid and put like, I don't know, like Nuz coming out the back or some shit. There's definitely going to be something, some kind of quirk that's going to make Ken turn off because it's not from the 1970s, you know.
Well, can you already imagine the minefield that is going to be season four? Like, imagine they even give a second of screen time to Nikita Mazepin. The hate will receive.
Yeah, no, you're completely right.
I'm waiting for Nikita Mazepin to start, like, to be shown on TV and all of that sort of stuff and just it's be hated by everyone, like fans in the stadium and stuff.
His career is going to go down the drain so quickly, man.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, saying that, though, the only people that give him shit are, like, girls on Twitter. And I don't think he gives a shit about girls on Twitter.
Well, he seems to like trying to attract them.
Good lad. Don't blame him. Ooh. Got some.
I mean, I see what Rickson is trying to say, but Rickson puts it more nicely than I'm going to now.
Oh no, here we go.
Which is a first. But thing is, Drive to Survive has brought a bit of snowflakes to the F1 Twitter community, and some of them just can't handle it, can they? But that's for another episode.
I think so. Yeah, I mean, we mentioned it last week slightly, and those who follow us on Twitter would have seen the clip that we were all agreed on about McLaren's new era of fans.
Just girls, man.
Just girls, yeah. Girls it's who pay £80 for a hoodie.
It's girls and Lando Norris simps. Like, that's all it is. They are the worst kind of people. Like, it makes me feel a little bit ill, really. But
yeah, it's the type of people that go like, it's so unfair. He has to start on Haas and his teammate on softs. The team is putting him down.
That's getting clipped.
But the thing is, the moment you try to argue with him and say, you know, it's either his own choice or he qualified on et cetera, or, you know, it's his own choice to have a fighting chance near the end of the race, insta-block. You're like, wait, what?
Yeah, Yeah, it's easier just to not engage. But I mean, we'll talk. I'm sure we'll talk about fans and other moments and Drive to Survive throughout the season and Mazepin's demise, hopefully, throughout the season progresses. But again, like we said, we'll talk about it once the season kicks off. But
yeah,
I think that's it for this episode, guys. Hopefully, you've enjoyed. If you are new here, don't forget to follow us on Spotify, YouTube, and iTunes. And if you're on Twitter, don't forget to follow us at GridWatchersPod. And we'll see you, I'm sure, very shortly for a brand new episode very, very soon. Thank you and good night.